Welcome to the Hanford Dixon Show. I'm Gabriella Cruz alongside the top dog.
Great. I was saving that bark.
Oh, that one was a good one, too.
I had to get it in. I had to get it in. You better believe it.
You can tell you rested your voice for that.
Oh, my God. Yes. Yes. How are you?
I'm good. How was your Easter?
You know, Gabby, it was good. This is funny. I got to tell you this. Well, you can call it funny, whatever. So, Friday, I found out at the church, they had seven ministers who each, I think they had about 20 to 25 minutes each, and they gave a sermon. And I went to,
Did you have a bite to eat before that?
I stayed to see about five of them. Okay. Then I had to get out of there, but because I had another appointment. But actually, it was pretty good, and obviously, the church was packed. I mean, absolutely packed, because you know how it is on Easter, and you see a lot of people that haven't been to church in a long, long time. So they want to come and they want to watch and talk about He is risen, obviously God. But I go to church often, so it's not during football season, but I go, you know, when I have a chance to, because on Sundays we play games.
And which church you go to again?
Mount Sinai Baptist Church, where Reverend C.J. Matthews is the pastor, giving him and the church a shout out. But where I was headed with this, it was really, really good. I mean, it was really, really good. I had a chance to go there, and other than that, I mean, what I did was pretty much Easter didn't do a lot. Oh, I have to say this. I Saturday night I went to Canton, and it was pretty sad, because they were doing a fundraiser for this guy Larry, who died, and his wife, and he's got a couple of kids, and this guy all of a sudden he didn't know he had cancer, and it took him in like 30 days. It was sad. And the good thing about it, though, he's in a better place. But what they did was they raised a lot of money. So I went to that. And Easter Sunday, Gab, I was just like old hog. I didn't do anything. That's old Southern talk, you know, like old hog.
I'll use that one. I'll put that in my back pocket.
I just stayed home and I watched TV, watched the movie. Oh, I got to ask you this question. I watch something every time I'm coming up with something. I know you give me that look. I watched this movie. It's called, have you heard of Only the Brave?
I have heard of it.
Yeah.
It's a really sad, right? It's based on a true story, I think.
Yeah. It's about these 20 firefighters, and they were fighting these brush fires, and all of a sudden the wind changed, and they had to dig in and protect themselves. And they had on these jackets, and they all put these jackets on that were supposed to save them. But, Gab, it was so sad. All of them died except one. So 19 out of the 20 firefighters died. And it's based on a true story. It was pretty, pretty sad. And I got teared up. So
did you? You got teary-eyed.
Yeah, because what happened was they had the families, and they were looking for them. And then it was the kids. And it was just pretty sad. So I'm going to get off of that, because that'll bring us down for the show.
Well, you know, we've had plenty of sad chats talking about our Browns on this show. And, I mean, hey, so to bring up this is real life, you know, and people pay the ultimate sacrifice. It, especially when we're talking about, you know, the Lenten season, not to be too spiritual, but we are focused on that suffering. And out of suffering, usually there is, you know, there's a purpose in our suffering. So for them to have made that ultimate sacrifice, you know, you do get teary-eyed, because you realize that the bigger blessing is how they're serving communities and what they're trying to do to keep people safe. So I always have a lot of respect for those who do serve the community.
Well, I have another question for you.
Yes, sir.
Are you a big lottery person?
You know, my mom kind of is. Like, every once in a while, she'll buy us a lottery ticket. And I'm a big loser. I don't know. Are you lucky with this stuff?
Gab, listen to me.
Oh, are you talking about the one that's like up a lot right now?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
So how many did you buy?
Enough. Let's just say this, because
are you gonna give me one?
Absolutely. And I'm gonna go on the air and say it right now. If I win, you guys are taken care of. So
all right.
I'm gonna go on air right now, and I will not be cheap with you. But this thing. I mean, can you believe it? I mean, there was one ticket sold. Yeah. I think it was last week, 2 weeks ago, whatever it was, over $1 billion, one ticket. And I think what's going to, I don't know yet if anyone won, but I think the last drawing was pretty much right at $1 billion.
You got to watch out, though, because if you see those stories, I feel like it's a crazy percentage of winners who end up bankrupt or something.
Yeah. Well, let me go bankrupt winning $1 million.
Okay.
I'll take my chances on that one. What do you say?
You said, let me try it out first.
Hey, Bones, I got something to say about, did you notice Gabby today? Did you see her? You think maybe she went to a professional makeup person or something? Because look at her. She's late today with that makeup. I mean, you go, girl. What the hell?
Stop it.
I mean, did you do it yourself or?
I did. I do the same thing every day or every time we have a show. So finally, I've captured your attention, you know, I guess, that I've come looking presentable.
This is what's funny. Where finally, I've caught your attention. She's looking all dapper do. I like it.
I'm being silly because, you know what? I have been sick for probably 4 weeks now. It's crazy. So I haven't always felt, you know, the most dapper, but I'm glad that at least, you know, my inner beauty must be shining through.
Have you started back your running?
Oh, I never left. I've been sick, but I'll be damned if I give up the streak at this time. I've been running every day for 5 months now.
Well, what is this you have on Instagram going on?
It's my running challenge. I don't know. In December, I just decided one day, I was like, I'm gonna run every day of December, and then I couldn't stop once I got in a good flow. It's not about going fast or far.
Uh-huh.
Hanford, just something happened in my brain, though, where I feel like the discipline and the consistency has given me just a good, I'm on a roll. I can't stop.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
I just keep it going real light, but yeah, I'm still getting over this sickness, but kept the streak alive.
Well, what I think is happening also is this, watching you do that is encouraging a lot of people.
Yes, so many people.
Yeah.
I love being I'm a professional hype woman. So
yeah.
I love when people message me and they're saying, because of you, I started back. I'm getting a lot of messages, actually. And that's what I was hoping it was for. It was for, I post it on my story for personal accountability. But the other byproduct is to help uplift other people who might be trying to get into it.
So. Well, we have a special guest coming on, don't we?
Yes, we do. So we're gonna go ahead and take our first break of the show. We'll be back with Phil Taylor. So stay tuned. Welcome back to the Hanford Dixon Show. We are so excited to bring on Phil Taylor, former nose tackle, defensive tackle. You know, how do we say it? Nose tackle, defensive tackle for the Cleveland Browns?
Well, you got to ask him, you know, which is it?
You know,
is it the same thing?
It can't be the same thing, right? But I just feel like we don't say
nose.
We don't say nose tackle a lot. You are a specific, unique person, though, so it makes sense that you were a nose tackle. Drafted 2011 by the Cleveland Browns, 21st overall out of Penn State and Baylor. So thanks for coming on, Phil. We really appreciate you. Mr. Nose Tackle.
You guys having me. Thank you.
Hey, Phil, I have a question right off the bat. You say you like nose tackle as defensive tackle. Is there a difference, or is it pretty much the same thing?
I think it's a difference. Nose tackle was, you know, the bigger 330-plus guys. You know, you're playing the one technique, the zero technique, and at best you might get out there at the three a little bit. But, nose tackle, man, I look at it as like a Vince Wilfork, you know, those type of guys, big body guys. There's not a lot of them now in football, you know, with all the zone running and passing. So, you know, it's a, you know, we're a dying breed, you know, in NFL.
I was going to say, we don't hear it very often. So just wondered.
I mean, we were more used for, you know, when the NFL was a lot, you know, tougher, you know, in the smash mouth, you know, the run game and things like that, you know. And being in the AFC North, you know, it was a must. You know, guys like me, Casey Hampton, you got big Tony Siragusa, and guys like that. And You know, so, you know, the league turns to passing now. It got a little softer. So, you know, those big guys, we're not as needed as much.
Yeah, what do you think about this evolution of the NFL? Would you have preferred to play now or when you did?
No, I don't want to play. I wouldn't want to play in the NFL now. I would have too many fines and things like that. My era was perfect for when I played, and I'm glad I got in when I could and got out when I could. So, yeah.
Well, I agree with you because you've heard me say it probably a lot of times. I just think it's soft. I think the NFL is soft because, and Phil, you can comment on this because, you know, they make, I mean, all of our jobs ease hard on defense, but especially the defensive line, because if those guys are getting, I mean, first they talk about now they got this new rule, a hip tackle, whatever the hell that is. I don't have a clue what that is. Yeah, and then they got it where the quarterback, they trying to protect the quarterback, but you can't even, I mean, if you all in one motion, if you there to him and he hasn't thrown the ball, he's about to throw the football. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can't fall on him. I mean, what the hell, Phil? I mean, what is all this stuff they're coming up with?
Bunch of BS. You know, they're making the game. They want, you know, ultimately, they want money, you know, and points earn money. You know, the more points scored, the more people come to watch and the more money they make. So they want to see points scored, you know what I mean? And it's just making it harder and harder for defenses because we got to, you know, we're running full speed, but we got to think about where he's going to fall or something or how we fall on him. And, you know, I mean, just like with the new rule, the hip drop. They call it hip drop tackle.
Right.
I'm like,
yeah,
it's the dumbest
that?
Thing ever.
Yeah.
You know, just because two people got hurt, you know, accidentally from this play, like how, like, I honestly think they're going to have to throw it out because too many guys are going to be getting fined from this. And I feel sorry for the guys that are out there, you know, living paycheck to paycheck because, you know what I'm saying, they're just trying to make it and they're getting fined, you know, for going 100%, you know, and making plays like that.
Yeah. Do you think that'll be hard to enforce? Because I'm sure, like, the way people fall or something, they're going to be accidentally maybe doing this. Like, I wonder how they're going to be judging that, I guess.
It's going to be a lot of missed tackles. That's what I think. It's going to be a lot of missed tackles because I don't know how – what other way you can coach tackling a guy without – if you're going for the hip, you're going to wrap up and you're going to leave your feet to, you know what I'm saying, to bring this guy down. It's no other way. You know what I mean? So, and yeah. So, I mean, it'll be funny how they referee it.
I think it's crazy. Phil, I got a question for you. Where is Brandywine, Maryland?
Brandywine, Maryland. It's about...
Is that one of those...
About 10-15 minutes from D.C.?
Because I'm from a little town, a little small town, Alabama, called Theodore, Alabama, which is right outside of Mobile.
I thought you always said Mobile.
Well, Mobile is where they play the Senior Bowl. And I say,
I've been to Mobile.
Yeah, and I say Mobile because everybody's pretty much heard of Mobile. And I say Theodore, and I start to tell people Theodore is the door to Mobile. But I saw where you're actually from Brandywine, Maryland.
Well, that's where my high school is. Where I live was in Clinton, Maryland.
Oh.
What? So if you look up a little bit of history of Clinton, Maryland, that's where John Wilkes Booth was killed, assassinated at.
Oh.
History lesson for us.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I have a question now. It lists Penn State and Baylor. Now, tell me about that whole thing. Now, how did that?
I started off at Penn State. I was there for 2 years and then got into some little off the field issues. And I didn't want to be in Joe Pa's doghouse because once you're in Joe Pa's doghouse, there's no getting out of it. So at that time, Coach Brian Norwood, he was the safeties coach at Penn State. He took the defensive coordinator job at Baylor and I just transferred down to Baylor with him.
That's cool. How was that process, you know, like being mentored during that time? You know, who did you turn to help you facilitate that process? I noticed today, obviously, the game has changed a lot with college football, and it's crazy what we see with the transfers and everything. But what was that process like for you back then? Was it difficult, or did someone help you through that?
Just mostly my family. You know, it was kind of exciting, you know, being in college and then going to a new another school or whatever. But I really didn't know much about Baylor till I was in the car on my way down there, you know, and I looked at their record, like in the last 5 years, the most games they won was 3 games, you know, and I think I just happened to get there on a great timing, you know, because Coach Browser came and the strength conditioning coach, Kaz Kazadi, he was there. And without those two guys, you know, I don't think I would have made it to the NFL, you know, after transferring. So, I mean, it was a blessing in disguise.
Well, Phil, you everybody heard Gabby say that you were a first-round draft pick, obviously, of the Cleveland Browns, the 21st pick, I think it was. I like to ask a lot of the players, because I know myself when I knew that I was good enough to play in the National Football League. What point in your career, in high school, college, did you realize that, hey, I'm good enough to be in the National Football League?
In high school, when I first got my first letters, that's when I realized, I'm like, okay, you know, maybe this college thing, you know, is something to do. I was just playing football just because all my homeboys were playing. You know what I mean? And bowling and basketball was my first love.
Wow.
And,
You imagine Phil bowling?
He's a bowler.
Yeah, I still bowl in the league.
Stop every
once a month. Yeah,
you think he was in a good gap?
This is actually an amazing fun fact, and we're going to have to chat about this because I have a little show that I'm cooking in the background, and this would be funny to see Phil in action. I mean, I could see you being really good at it, yeah.
Yeah, I'm all right. But it, like I said, yeah, bowling and basketball was my first love, and then once I started getting letters from college, you know, that made me more excited. And then when I got to college, you know, at Penn State, you know, I was only there for my freshman and sophomore years. And, you know, it was more, you know, you're partying a little bit, you're young. And when I got down to Baylor, it was kind of like a wake-up call, you know. And these guys, they were hungry. They didn't win games. You know, I went to bowl games every year at Penn State.
Right.
And when I got down at Baylor, it gave me a new perspective on how to work hard and things like that. And they had an offensive lineman there named Jason Smith, and he had went number 2 overall in the draft. And the year I sat out, I had to be on scout team all year. So I was just going against him. I'm like, well, I mean, I'm not doing half bad against him. So I'm right. Like, yeah, I can probably, you know, hold up in the NFL. So, you know, everything went from there.
Wow.
Who were some of the guys that were already in the NFL that you looked up to and you wanted to maybe pattern your game after or something?
You know, me being a big nose tackle type of guy, I looked up to Vince Wilfork, Warren Sapp.
Yes.
I looked at a lot of, you know, pass rush stuff from Big John Randall and and, you know, a lot of my, you know, my pass rush moves with that big old club, you know, so, and I got that from him. So it was like, you know, those mean guys, gritty guys, you know, that's what I looked up to.
What did you think when you, when you found out the Browns was going to draft you, and after you got here, what were your thoughts on this football team?
I didn't know where I was going to go, but once I knew, I loved it. I mean, I always loved the city of Cleveland, you know, growing up watching, you know, the NFL ball. You know, my hometown team was the Redskins at the time, but I always always liked Cleveland. It was like that gritty team because they had the dogs, you know, and, you know, the guys barking and things like that. So I always liked it as a kid. And I was a dog guy. I still am a dog guy. So it was just, you know what I'm saying, it was like a dream come true.
Well, we got to get in with this with Gab, because my understanding is you were in the dog pound. Gab and I was laughing about this. You were in the dog pound, sitting in the dog pound during a game. That's when the Browns clinched to go in the playoffs. Now, what was that like over there? No, it was crazy. What?
It was awesome. It was. It almost made me feel like I was playing. I wanted to be out there on that field. But it was awesome, man. And actually, those two seats my buddy owned, and I think I'll be buying those season tickets for this year. So I'll have two season tickets in front of the dog pound for the season.
That's awesome. Hey, we have a couple more questions for you, Phil, but we got to take one break, Hanford, so we can sneak it in here. Stick with us. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Hanford Dixon Show. Hanford and I were just chatting with Phil Taylor. He joins us now once again. Well, Phil, welcome in. And why don't you tell us the story? Because we were just going to talk about the dog pound.
I know.
It was awesome. You know, just being there, the experience. It was a night game. The stadium did something they never did before when they turned off all the lights and everybody had their cell phones.
Yeah.
That right there had me sold. I'm like, man, we need a championship in this city bad. You know, it was just awesome.
Because I was there for that game, too. And like you said, were you...
Oh, you were there?
Yeah, you had to be there, too.
Oh, I'm pretty sure I was there.
Yeah, it was really cool when they shut the lights out.
But I wasn't in the dog pound, you know. I should have been.
He was hanging out in the cardio.
Speaking of getting soft...
I was in there having a cocktail. That's where I was. I was having a cocktail at that time.
Where we were trying to mosey with this was the fact that, of course, Hanford, you are the creator of the dog pound. And you know, and Phil, he was talking about getting. You're gonna buy tickets, or you're gonna buy these seats.
Yeah, I got my buddy. He's not renewing his for this year, so I'm gonna take over his for this season. So yeah, two seats in front of the dog pound,
which is really cool. And it's too bad you guys couldn't get that copyright.
Are you gonna ask Phil? Does he know who started the dog pound? You gonna ask him that question? Why are you laughing like that at me?
Because you love to talk about yourself.
Oh, I know the OG started.
Oh, my man. Woo, woo, woo. Never gotta get my bark in there.
Yes,
you know?
Oh, yes.
Hey.
We gotta always remember who started it, the OG.
Phil, you know what's funny though? And I gotta say this. It was originally meant for the defensive line to get those guys started because, again, I tell everybody, I'm from down south, and I remember how running around those dirt roads, how dog used to chase the cat. And we had the two all-pro cornerbacks, myself and Frank Minifield, the two all-pro linebackers, Clay Matthews and Chip Banks. But our defensive line just wasn't, you know, those guys, don't get me wrong. Now, those guys were excellent. I mean, they would give you everything they had, and they made plays, but it just wasn't that dominant defensive line. So we were trying to get those guys going, and we say, think of that old quarterback as the cat, and you guys are the dogs. We're going to bark at you. And it started at when we had training camp at Lakeland Community College, and the fans at Lakeland Community College were so close. I mean, so close to us, and we started barking shit. Before we know it, everybody was the dogs. I mean, the whole defense, the whole team, and everybody was the dog. And, Phil, you mentioned this. Listen to me. We did try to patent that thing. We did. But what happened, NFL Properties already had it. And you talking about it, we're upset. Can you imagine?
That's crazy.
They be on it, man.
Right, they be on it, man.
Right. And my understanding, too, they also had the Hogs. You know, and you remember in Washington?
Washington had
the Hogs.
Oh.
And NFL Properties had that, too, when they wanted to go ahead and patent that. They
got so far ahead of it on you guys.
Oh, I'm still sick about
that
whole
thing. It is super cool, even though you don't have this patent or whatever. It is still really cool to see how your legacy has played out and how everybody has been able to enjoy a piece of the dog pound, whether you played, you're a former player, or you're a current fan.
Yeah, but it'd be a lot better, though, if I had that thing. But Phil, I got to ask you this. We know in your career you had knee surgery. Yeah. How hard was that coming back from that?
Man, it was. I came back from a few knee surgeries, three to be exact. Mm-hmm. And each time it just got harder and harder. Not physically, you know, I'm going to work my ass off physically and get back. It was more mentally draining, you know what I mean? And each time, the first time was in Cleveland, first two times was in Cleveland, and, you know, got back. After I left Cleveland, had a short stint in Denver, and then my last two years was in Washington. I had a big quad tear in Washington.
That was tough, wasn't it?
That was my toughest one,
yeah.
You know, just to get back physically and mentally. But I got back from it. They signed me to another one-year deal. And then I ain't going to say no names, but we had a bonehead head coach who had us going live in a goal line period, and the offensive lineman was cutting, and I kind of hurt my MCL on that. So that kind of hurt me during camp or whatever. So I didn't make it out in Washington. So,
you know, we were just,
and after that, I was like, I'm done mentally. And I just gave it up after that.
Right. Right.
We were just talking about how you also played under so many different head coaches in your career. I think it was seven. We counted out. What was it like having to adjust to each different, or each coach's different outlook?
It was tough because I had three in 4.5 years in Cleveland. So
in Cleveland, yes. And then
I
think
my first two was Pat Shurmur. Then I had Rod Chizinski, and then Mike Patton.
So did you play under Hugh Jackson at all, or no? 16?
No.
Okay.
I left right before Hugh. And it was tough because you're basically, other than my first 2 years, you're learning a new defense every year. You know, and a lot of these guys, they got the same defensive coach, you know, 3-4 years. They're just adding on to what they already know. For us, it was tough. It made it harder for us because we got to learn a whole new defense basically every year. You know, so, it was tough.
And it was probably two different terminology.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's just the plays and stuff are the same.
Yeah.
It's just the terminology.
Right.
So say we said Vegas or something on this, but for the new coach, it'd be like Toronto or something. You know what I mean? And it's like, you know, it's hard switching those words around because you see something, you think of something that it used to be. So, I mean, it's tough defensively. And I know it's even tougher on the offensive guys when they got to learn a whole new playbook, a blocking scheme and all that stuff every year.
Yeah, that's something we don't talk about a ton, but just having with what you've got to remember and map out and recall, is all of that studying done at practice, or is there a lot you kind of have to shoulder on your own outside of practice to learn everything?
Oh, to learn the playbooks, you got to be, you know, on your own time, studying your plays and stuff like that. You know, something recently came out on Netflix, a guy, he wasn't studying his plays, you know, and it'll catch up quick, you know, when you're not watching film and things like that. The NFL evolves. And if you're not watching film, you're going to get left behind quick.
Oh, there's no question about it. You gotta be up on it, because if you're not, you're going to get out of here. And you're going to get out of here in a hurry. We're going to ship you out.
You're going to get yourself hurt. You're going to get your teammates hurt.
Right. It's crazy to think of that side of the game, because there's so much you have to do to prepare mentally. Thanks for watching the Hanford Dixon Show. We're going to have more with Phil Taylor right after this.
Hey, dog, what do you think of this football team today?
I'm liking it, man. I'm liking it.
Yeah.
I just, hope all the guys buy in. You know, it's a few guys that have been buying in, but the defensive line looking nice. Oh, I sent my resume in to a couple people in the organization.
Hopefully. Good.
Yeah, hopefully I'll be able to, you know, do the Bill Walsh Fellowship program.
Right.
And, you know, and just whatever. I don't care if it's coaching, you know, helping out with player development, or, you know, I'm just, you know, trying to, should use me. I've been there, done that. You know, I feel like I can, you know, help these young guys, you know, transition, you know, coming into the league and things like that. So, yeah.
Well, that would be so smart if they would take a guy like you, and it's a no-brainer. I mean, it's just an absolutely no-brainer to bring you in, you know, because obviously you know the system, you know what you're doing, and but a lot of times you know, and I'll say it, I don't care about saying it, you have a lot of them, they want to bring in a lot of their friends and guys that really haven't played the position, and if it was me, if I was in that position, you would already be a part of it, big dog. I would bring you right here, because it just makes so much sense to have a guy like you on this roster, you know, helping those guys, especially like a lot of those young guys. So you see us, this AFC North is going to be tough this year. I mean,
it's going to be exciting, man. I like it.
It's going to be tough. I mean, here's what I say. It wouldn't surprise me if all four teams in the AFC North go to the playoffs, because Baltimore again is going to be strong. I mean, when they brought in Derrick Henry, I mean, not only do we have to worry about Lamar, we got Derrick Henry to worry about. Cincinnati's going to be Cincinnati. I mean, obviously, we got Joe Burrow, who's coming back off of that injury. And then Pittsburgh got stronger, because only thing, they went to the playoffs.
I think Phil's going to beat them out.
You think?
I think Fields going to beat him out.
Wow.
I think Fields will beat him out.
That's going to be interesting.
I feel like they should have kept Fields in Chicago. He didn't have a bad year.
Yeah.
It was just bad coaching, to be honest.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I mean, I feel like, yeah.
And you know what?
It'd be tough, man. D-line and linebackers, we going to have to, hey, you got to stay at home now.
And I agree with you. I thought it was absolutely crazy they got rid of that kid. I mean, they just put it in their minds that they want to get him out of there instead of bringing him some more help in there. He just didn't have the players around him, and he played really, really good. So I agree with you. That's why I say Pittsburgh, even with what they had, they still went to the playoffs. And you can imagine with those two quarterbacks, with those Fields and those two quarterbacks they brought in, it's going to be interesting to see what happened. But again, that AFC North is going to be strong again.
Do you think Deshaun and Chubb are going to be ready to start this season?
I don't know about Chubb.
It's going
to
be
Chubb to take his time.
Yeah.
Signing Jameis and Huntley. Yeah.
Because the only person know how he feels, trust me, I've been through knee injuries. Not as bad as him, but at the same time, only person know how he feels is him.
Yeah.
That training room, they're going to get – they. As soon as you say you can run, they're going to make you run. They can't cut you while you hurt.
No.
As soon as you say you okay, they're going to go with what you say. So you got the – You know how you feel, you know what I mean? So that's how you got to treat it.
And Phil, I know it's two surgeries on that same knee. Now, is it, I don't know why I want to say maybe three, but I
think it was three.
That's what I want to say.
Freshman year?
Yeah.
His freshman year, he blew it out maybe had an ACL or something. Then he did it again, I think his senior year or something. And then now in the previous year with the Browns.
Well, let me ask you this, a couple more things, and then we'll let you go. Why is it you think, when you look at our defense, I mean, obviously our defense is pretty good. They play extremely well at home. But when we get on the road, I mean, there's no way you would have told me that Houston was going to beat us and that with that rookie quarterback. But for some reason, when we get on the road, we just don't play the way we play at home. I mean, I can't put my finger on it.
I noticed that too. We didn't against Houston. I think we kind of underestimated them. And I don't know what it was. We didn't look like the Browns, you know what I'm saying, in that playoff game. And I don't know if we got out coached or anything. It could be multiple things because it's, you know, any entity, you know, you got 11 guys out there, you know what I'm saying, at any given time. So it wasn't Cleveland football, that's for sure. And it, you know, and I know it left a bad taste in their mouth as well.
Well, Gab, I got to say this. You know, Phil and I, we just got back. We were on a cruise together.
Oh, yeah. I want to hear about your cruise. And I also want to hear about Phil's background, too, before we let him leave, because he has a sick background. He's got a lot of shoes. I think some comics out there. So first, you guys tell me about the cruise, because I know he was there as well.
Yes.
And you guys linked up. So how was it?
Well, we had a good time. Where did we go? To Bahamas? We went out of Miami, didn't we?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nassau and then Falmouth.
Okay.
Jamaica.
Yeah, yeah. We had a good time, didn't we, dog?
Yeah, it was fun, man. It was fun.
I'm
ready for the next.
Hey, dog, we had a few cocktails, didn't we?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Daily,
just a few, if I know Hanford.
Yeah, they be watered down on the boat. Yeah. So there, man.
That's why we had to drink so many, Gab. They were watered down over
that's
there.
Cool. I think it's a cool concept in that you guys all got to get together again, see each other, catch up.
You know what we did, though? It was good because, and I wasn't shocked at the amount of Browns fan that was on this. They pretty much took over the boat. But we got a chance to, they got a chance to really know us because we sit down, and Phil will tell you, we sit down each night, we had dinner at a table, and obviously we signed autographs, we had a question and answer period. It was all good. And like Phil said, I can't wait to go back neither. I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, yeah.
That's cool. Okay, last thing, Phil, tell us about your background. What's the inspiration? Did you set this up yourself? Because it looks really organized.
This whole shelf was upstairs in a room. Then we had our youngest that became his room. So I had to relocate to the basement. And a TV used to be right there. So I just filled it in with some Funko Pops. And the rest of this is shoes, some cleats right here that I haven't even worn. I might give them to a big high school lineman or something that needs them. You know what
yeah.
I mean? So,
yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, I'm. You guys know, you know, with me, Joe Hayden, and us,
yeah.
We were big in the shoes.
Absolutely.
I haven't bought shoes in a while, but yeah, I mean, some of these shoes I got up there, you can probably.
Yeah, you got some style.
All the way down.
Wow.
Pretty impressive.
But yeah, I mean, some of them I ain't even worn yet, so yeah.
We had to get a little inside the, you know, little Cribs action for our show. Super cool. We know that you're stylish.
I know I told you this,
but I like keeping up with you and your family on Instagram. He's got the cutest family. And we were just at, speaking of events, actually, you missed it.
I did.
You skipped it on us.
Well, I knew you guys were going and you guys would keep me up on it. So that's good.
Yeah. Josh and Maria invited us, but it was a really cool kind of get together. Had a little rooftop restaurant and stuff.
Oh, yeah, that's cool. I think it'd be real nice in the summertime.
Yeah, they got a lot of people out. So, well, hopefully I will be catching you in person at some point, Phil. And it's good to catch up with you.
Did you have a cocktail over there?
I did. I had a couple glasses of wine.
Okay. Yeah, okay. You know. Okay. All
right. That's what they had, right, Phil? They didn't really give you a whole lot of options.
I was just drinking wine too. Whatever I can get the quickest, because it was a line at the
bar. They gave you champagne though, right off the rip, which was kind of cool.
Yeah, if you got there early enough, that's for sure.
Yeah.
But dog, we appreciate you.
Yeah, thanks for
coming
on, Phil.
Man, for sure. Thank you guys.
We'll talk to you soon, and best of luck with your applications. Keep us posted.
Oh yeah, will do. Thank you.
All right. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Hanford Dixon Show. We were just joined by Phil Taylor, which was a really nice interview. It's really cool because he's such a down-to-earth person.
You know, Gabby, he really is. And like I said, as you already know, we were on a cruise together and had a chance to really get a chance to know him. Because before this, obviously, we were in two different airplanes. But I had a chance to sit down with him, obviously have a beer or two with him, and he's such a laid back, nice guy. And he could be, for a lot of people that don't know him, he can really be intimidating because he's such a big guy. I mean, he's like 6'3", 6'4", and
he's got a presence to him.
Yeah, but he's really just he's just a nice guy.
I mean,
you could say that. I didn't want to say that, you know, but you could
he
say
he really is. Because anytime I encounter him, it's just cool. It's just cool the energy you read from people. And he just seems like he gives off good energy.
And I thought it was great. You know, you and I, we were sitting here, we were giving him a hard time about him being in the dog pound.
Yeah.
When we clinched. I wished I was sitting in the dog pound
when
we clinched. Because can you imagine? That place is like crazy and wild anyway. Can you imagine with him being there, sitting in the dog pound when we clinched? That was great.
That was cool to recount it from his point of view. Well, hey, you know what? Let's talk a little more Browns here. There's some Greg Newsom trade rumors. Have you heard about those? Like, do you think that's going to go for, or that's going to happen for us?
Well, you know, actually I have. I've heard about it. And I think what happened was, especially at the owners meeting, Andrew Berry tried to put some of those rumors to bed. Because when you look at Greg Newsom, I think he was the number 26 pick in the 2021 draft, and he's headed right now into the final year of his rookie contract, which is I think it's like $2.39 million, I think something like that. I think those are the numbers that where he's going to make this year. But we have until May 2nd, I think, to pick up that the option, the fifth year option. But that's when that number really, really increased. Make sure I got this number right. I think the option for 2025 goes to over $13 million that we will have to pay him.
Wow.
And this is where we're going to find out if what Barry is saying is the truth. Because think of it, from $2 million to over $13 million. That's a lot of money we already got in the cornerback backfield, because obviously, you know, we're paying Denzel Ward a lot of money. And then we have, you know, you look at it, I don't think you can have enough cornerbacks, enough defensive backs. I think you have to have a lot of them, but you don't want to have to get in a position where you're paying them all.
You got to pay a lot.
Because, yeah. And then when you look at it, we also, we got all that money. Deshaun is,
it's a looming thing, huh?
Yeah,
it's a thing. It's always in consideration.
I don't care what we say or how we think about it. His cap number is huge over there. And then, you know, we got the kid Emerson. I mean, we have him out of Mississippi State. I mean, obviously, he's the other corner playing on the other on the opposite side of Denzel Ward. So we got him over there.
He's got some bright potential for sure.
Yeah, but the good thing about it, I mean, he's still in his rookie contract, so that's a good thing. But it's going to be interesting to see what they do and how they do it with Greg Newsome. Obviously, I think they still want to keep him. I think they want to keep him with the Cleveland Browns. But the problem is, at that price, it's going to be really, really hard because if you notice, they were trying to figure out a way that they can keep Nick Chubb this year. There was a lot of talk, a lot of rumbling. I'm sure you heard them. They was thinking about maybe what are we going to do? Are we going to keep him? Are we going to let him go? Or how are we going to do it? How are we going to keep him? But we were able to restructure some contracts, and obviously we can keep him with this football team.
Were there any trade rumors? Were there ever any trade rumors about you back in your day?
There's always trade rumors. I don't care.
I know there wasn't social media everything.
Well, yeah, thank God. You know, we didn't have social media. We don't want
any. So you're not like on blast about it, but you know, the talk of the town.
Yeah, we don't want any of those pictures running around. But you know what? I think at some point, I don't care who you are or what your name is as far as a player. I think at some point, you will come across some trade rumors. I think it's very, very rare. There's a guy that you don't hear anything about trade rumors, especially toward the end of their career or when they're making a ton of money.
Sure.
So to answer your question, there was some rumors going around, but you do what you can to try to keep him and try to stay where you're playing at, but you can't control those rumors. You just got to continue to go out and continue to play and do what you do. But I like our football team. I really do. I think we made some good moves, especially with Jerry Jeudy coming on the offensive side, the wide receiver, and then we gave him a ton of money also, and we signed another running back, and this football team is going to be strong. But again, I told you what I've always said. The problem is every team in the AFC North it's going to be good.
Yeah, but you're right, though. I really do like our moves, so we'll have some exciting things to think and talk about in our coming episodes as well. We're going to take our last break, and we'll be back to wrap up the Hanford Dixon Show. Thanks so much for watching. Welcome back to the Hanford Dixon Show. Hanford, we didn't really talk too much about it, but the new rule changes for the NFL. I know they're tweaking stuff all the time, but what were your initial thoughts about these new rules?
Who did your makeup?
Oh, you're back on the makeup train?
You know why?
Are you trying to fill time or something?
Let me tell you why. Because I know now, I get tired of people coming up to me saying the only reason why they watch the show, they Hanford, no disrespect to you, but we watch the show not because of you, because we watch it, we want to look at Gab. Now that you got that makeup on, all looking fancy.
What's that song? I put on my makeup.
I know she would get going.
I say a little prep for you. Is that the same song?
Get her,
I don't know.
Get her song in.
I mixed them.
Oh, what was your question? I forgot your question now. What was your question?
It's funny, too, because I'm like losing my voice because I've been sick, but I appreciate you. You know, good makeup day, bad hair day. That's why we're wearing the hat. But anyway, your thoughts on these new rule changes, you know, with the hip drop tackle.
Yeah. Well, I don't have a problem with the hair, so I'll leave that one alone. But, you know, Gab, it's crazy because...
new kickoff rule, too.
I'm for anything that's making the game safer. I mean, I really am. And I think when you look at the kickoff, I like it because I want to see something exciting. I think when you look at it, now, is that the same thing they do? Well, is that the same thing they do in the UFL or whatever it is?
XFL.
They did it in the XFL. I don't think they're doing it in the UFL.
Okay.
So only the kicker and two returners will be allowed to move until the ball hits the ground or is touched by a returner inside the 20. Any kick that reaches the end zone in the air can be returned, or the receiving team can opt for a touchback in possession at the 30.
And you know what I think? I think what they're trying to do is they're trying to eliminate
collisions,
yes. And you know, on the kickoff, there's been brutal collision. But you talked about before that drop hip or whatever that thing, that tackle is. That's the most craziest thing in the world. And Phil said the same thing. I mean, it's just absolutely insane that you would. I mean, because when you got a guy and you're trying to tackle him, you just want to get him down any way you can. You just want to do it. I mean, and they're not trying to hurt the guy. I mean, I think two guys or one guy got hurt during the whole thing. I think that is ridiculous. Don't make the game soft. I mean, we've already made it soft enough, but That's my feelings. Don't get me going on that. You want to see me turn red?
Hip drop tackle.
You want to see me turn red?
Yes.
I'll turn red on that.
That's seeing red on this tackle. You would have played it like in your day.
Some
this
people
is how
say
it.
We got to go. We got to go right now.
Stop one-upping me. Thanks for watching the Hanford Dixon Show. We'll see you next week.